First scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Acts, we'll be reading from chapter 2 in the book of Acts, verses 42 through 47. That is found on page 949 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Our second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 10. That is found on page 933 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One of the things that we human beings long for, indeed, one of the things that we are created for is not just life, but we were created and we long for abundant life. We are created by God to live and experience life in all of its fullness and abundance, which is somewhat ironic because one of the raps that I often hear against the church today is that the church somehow is too constraining. In the minds of many people, including the minds of many Christians, the Christian life is often depicted as wanting to shut down life and prevent us from having fun. I remember a young man telling me a few years back that he was going to wait until he got considerably older before he joined the church and became a Christian, because once you become a Christian, he said, your life is essentially over. You can't have any fun. You can't do the things you used to be able to do. You can't live the way you want to live. Well, he's right in a certain sense. Once we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the old life that we have lived is over. The old person, the old life, the old stories and narratives that inform our humanity and tell us who we are, that aspect of our life is over. But Jesus reminds us that contrary to wanting to shut down our lives, that he come to give us life. He came so that we might have life and have life in all of its abundance and plenitude. It's important to understand this morning that when Jesus talks about abundant life, that he's not talking about the life that we will experience after we die. Though that's very important and we need to keep that in the forefront of our thoughts. But when Jesus talks about abundant life, he's talking about the life that we can begin to experience right now. He's talking about the kind of life that he wants us to avail ourselves in this world, in this life. Jesus says, I want you to have life. I want you to live. I want you not only to live, but I want you to experience the full range of what it means to be alive. I came so that you might have life and have it in abundance. One of the things that always impressed me about the early church after the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord is that they didn't spend a whole lot of time gazing into heavens and wondering about the afterlife or wondering about when Jesus was coming back. Instead, they kept their feet firmly planted to this world. And they went out into this world with all of its messiness, with all of its grit and reality. They went out into this world and they not only proclaimed the abundant life, but they lived the abundant life that has been made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that abundant life was not just about the next world, but it's also about this world. This is where abundant life is most needed. And Jesus said, I came so that you might begin to experience that life. The New Testament has two words for life. One word is bios, and it concerns itself with our physical existence, our physical life. Our physical life is very important. Jesus nowhere denigrates our physical life, our physical existence. Indeed, Jesus spends a great deal of his ministry on earth ministering to our physical needs. And he tells those of us who would follow him that we should follow his example and attend to the physical needs of one another. Physical life, bios, is very important. But as Jesus also reminds us, human beings do not live by bread alone. We all long for something more. We were created for something more. We were created to have life and to experience life in all of its abundance. The New Testament also speaks about what it calls Zoe, our spiritual life. It's not a disembodied life, not life floating out there without a body, but spiritual life means a fulfilled life, a complete life, life that is purposeful and meaningful because it is rooted and grounded in God. Jesus says, that's the kind of life I want you to begin to experience. That's the kind of life I want you to have. I want you to have life that is meaningful. I want you to have life that is purposeful. I want you to have life that is rooted and grounded in the source of all life. I came so that you might be able to live and live in abundance. We all know people who are alive physically, They get up in the morning, they go to work, they go to school, they go through the mundane task of what it means to be alive day after day, week after week, year after year, they live their lives. They are physically alive, but they are spiritually dead, spiritually disconnected, spiritually unfulfilled, spiritually void. We have this deep hunger deep down inside of us, this deep void that needs to be filled, that needs to be filled, not just with anything, but needs to be filled with that which brings life. And Jesus says, that's what I came to give. I came to bring you life. The problem, of course, is that we often reject the abundant life that God desires for us. We try to find abundant life on our own terms. We look for abundant life in all the wrong places. The Bible says we're like sheep. Sheep without a shepherd. Which is not a very flattering characterization, because as I understand it, sheep have all kinds of problems. They're not very smart. They wander off. They get lost very, very easily. They fall prey to predators and the thieves and the robbers. It's not a very flattering characterization to be likened to a sheep. None of us like to think of ourselves as sheep. We would much rather think of ourselves as eagles or dolphins or some other animal, something less vulnerable. But the older I get, the more convinced that I am that we human beings are indeed like sheep. We do often wander around. We are often lost. We often find that we are subject to those who would seek to scatter us. We don't know where we might be able to find abundant life. We're not even sure what abundant life looks like. We confuse abundant life with the pseudo forms and modes of life that our world has to offer. Some of us seek abundant life in our possessions. We think that if we just have enough, if we just have enough things, then we can begin to live. Isn't that what our culture tells us? Just to get enough. You can begin to experience abundant life if you have an abundance of material possessions. Some of us seek abundant life in the wild pursuit of pleasure. We live in a very hedonistic society. We live in a society where oftentimes we elevate pleasure to the highest idea. Whatever feels good, do it. Some of us believe that's what it means to experience abundant life. Some of us seek abundant life in status and position. If I could just get that raise, if I could just get that promotion, if I could just reach that position that I wanted, then I could begin to experience abundant life. And some of us seek abundant life through shopping and by consuming, by being a consumer. We could just go out and get what we need. If I could just shop, I feel alive when I shop. I feel like I have a sense of meaning and purpose when I go out and go to the department store, go to the mall. I feel alive when I shop. That's what it means to have abundant life. But the Bible reminds us that to the extent that we move towards those things, those strategies, those idols that we think will give us life, to the extent that we move away from God, who is the source of life, then what we're doing is not only cheating ourselves, but we are squandering our life on things that do not satisfy. What comes to your mind when you think about abundant life? What are the images that come to your mind? I know when I think of abundant life, when I'm asked what it looked like, I'm often think of Donald Trump or Bill Gates or a Hollywood celebrity or a rich athlete. That's what I often think about when I think about abundant life. I think of tropical beaches and sailboats and lush golf courses. That's what I think about when I think about abundant life. But the Bible reminds us again that if that's our vision of what it means to have abundant life, then we're barking up the wrong tree. We're not on a journey to life. We are instead on a journey towards death. The Bible tells us that if we want to see what abundant life looks like, if we want to know what abundant life looks like, then we have to look towards the one who came to be with us. The one who, even though he was equal with God, even though he resided with God, he came to be in our midst. He didn't count his equality with God something to be grasped and held on to, but instead he came to be in the midst of this world. If you want to know what abundant life looks like, it looks like the one who made his life available to those who desperately needed to experience life. He made his life available to lepers and to those who were sick. He made his life available to the hungry and to the poor. If you want to understand what abundant life looks like, it's not being independent and not having to speak or to answer to anyone. If you want to know what abundant life looks like a life that is lived for others. It looks like life that is made vulnerable in the name of love. If you want to know what abundant life looks like, doesn't mean not having to suffer, but abundant life looks like a cross. Abundant life looks like an empty tomb. Abundant life doesn't look like not having to worry, not having to subject your life to anyone, but abundant life means trusting in God so much that you're willing to subject yourself to those who don't understand you, to those who don't understand the ways of God, to those who don't understand the way of love. Abundant life means subjecting yourself that in the name of love, in the name of the neighbor, in the name of this world. That's what abundant life looks like. If you want to see abundant life, if you want to know what it looks like, abundant life doesn't look like Donald Trump. Abundant life doesn't look like Bill Gates. Abundant life doesn't look like Warren Buffett. Abundant life doesn't look like the rich and the powerful and the influential. Abundant life looks like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what abundant life looks like. If you want to begin to experience it, that's what it looks like. The Bible tells us that it's this same Jesus who is our shepherd. Because face it, we need a shepherd. We don't know how to live. We need a shepherd. We need someone who's going to lead us beside still waters. We need someone who's going to lead us across the valley of death. We need someone who's going to be our rod and our staff. We need a shepherd. And Jesus says, I am your shepherd. Jesus is not only the shepherd that leads us out of the cramped and constraining enclosures of the world, but he's also the door through which we pass into abundant life. The abundant life that Jesus came to bring to us is life in his Spirit, the Spirit of God, where there is always an abundance of generosity and fellowship and love. And wherever there is an abundance, an overflowing of generosity and fellowship and love emanating from the Spirit of God, there's an abundance of other things as well. People find that they have what they need in order to live because there's enough. There's enough food. There's enough clothing. There's enough medical care. There's enough. Because in God, there's always enough. Jesus says, I came so that you might have enough. I came so that you might have life. I came so that there will never be a deficit of love. I came so that there will never be a deficit of fellowship. I came so there will never be a deficit of generosity. I came so that you might be the kind of community that God is calling you to be. A community that fellowships with one another, a community that breaks bread with one another, a community that sees itself as a family, a community that is constantly inviting people in to the fellowship, a community where no one has to be anxious about their lives because there's enough for everybody. In the world, there may be scarcity. In the world, there may not be enough, but in the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is blowing, there's always enough. There's enough for what you need. Jesus said, I came to bring you life. Jesus says, I am. That's who I am. I'm the one who brings life. I am what I am. That's what Jesus says. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who came so that you would know how to live. And not just live, but that you might be able to live with all the meaning and purpose and superfluity and plenitude and fullness that God wants each and every one of us to have. I came so that you might have life. Right now, and have it in abundance. Amen? Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for creation and for creating us and blowing your breath into us, animating us, strengthening us, helping us to be that beloved community that goes forward under the power of your Spirit to proclaim the good news that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all the forces and the powers of death have already been defeated, and that you have called us to begin even now to live into the newness of your life. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.